Oh, and that tells us that it's on. I do a backup recording.
Oh, good idea. Yeah.
Well, you know, it makes tech, you know, we have to respect all of the technology guides. So let's create some sacred space before we get in.
Okay.
So just letting yourself rest in your being, Shelley. Whatever came before, whatever's going to come after, just allow yourself to come in, land, feeling the ground below, the space all around, and the space above. And inviting in any of your guides and your angels, your teachers, your lineages, your most resourced embodied presence for our work today, and just to honor the future. That is really the intention of this project, to land together in this place of emergence, things emerging. As heart and mind begin to learn to work together in bodies, in places. And then remembering the particular project or set of projects that you'd like to embody as a yoga leader as we start our conversation. How it came to you, that inspiration, how you connected to the universe over and over again through your practices, those people, and then the places that you collaborated with, and then these trying and trying again, these iterations of doing it over, learning again and again, learning by doing. So that's the model, that's the inquiry that all of this is shaped by. And adding anything else that might be useful for you, for your gift, to be more visible, more embodied, and trusting your words, your expression. And then kind of wiggling toes and fingers and maybe doing a little wiggle waggle there at the base of the spine. Yeah, just kind of let it move around, wash through. Yeah, there you are.
Here I am. Thank you for that very much.
Oh, I like to do it just so that we share some sacred time together. Thank you for being present. So this first question relates to these moments of real initiation, this invocation that arose in you, Shelley, when your inspiration to do something with whatever began to take shape. Please tell us what you were thinking, what you were feeling, what you were sensing as the birth of this project or set of projects began to arise. Where did it come from?
Well, I'll start with the sense of urgency. You asked what I was feeling and sensing, and I remember a sense of urgency. Where did it come from? I remember not really a beginning. I just remember always feeling one of the things that mattered most to me was connection and meaning and purpose, even though I didn't have the language for that when I was younger. When I reflect back, that was always really important to me. Connection, I would say connection to myself, connection to something bigger, larger, spiritual, and connection to others. And so I always remember that within me. And then as a physiotherapist, of course, we're helping people and we're serving people and we're helping people through difficult times, through their injuries, through their chronic illnesses. And so I just remember always knowing that there was something maybe more that I could do than what I just learned in school from physiotherapy. So I guess there's really no one particular moment or even specific drivers per se. It's just something deep within me that I knew there was something more. And then I think the other thing that's coming to mind now, another feeling, is what really lit me up, what really made me feel really alive, what made me feel really expansive, and like I said, had a lot of meaning and purpose, and that feeling that you're in the right place at the right time and you're doing the right thing, you're on the path, or whatever word, you know, we want to use, or whatever term. For me, it just is a feeling of I'm in the right place at the right time and I'm on the right path. And I remember that feeling and those moments of expansiveness and just being on that true path were always those moments that I had with patients when I was working with patients in a traditional physiotherapy setting. It was always those moments when we were really connecting and when we were really talking about something greater than just the ankle injury or the back injury, you know, when it was really getting to the core of the values of that person I was trying to serve. And so that was really early on in my career. And I guess that's one of the things that really inspired me, was just recognizing that that felt right. And so whatever I could do in life to continue to, I guess, fuel that sort of feeling or that sort of connection felt like the right path. And so then that leads on to, you know, then the yoga, and that's sort of the story then that, you know, brings me to. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, so clear. So clear. Well, I have a visual memory in mind. So often I'll see pictures when people are saying, and it's part of my listening practice to engage more. So as you landed in this value of connection, so we just want to honor that. And I'm watching you smile as that kind of recognition comes into your body mind. So this next question relates to, as you just demonstrated, the ability to further clarify your vision and your intention around initiating something from that place of connection. Can you tell a little bit about how that went for you?
Right. So I'll start from the beginning of when I first discovered yoga. That's, I think, the most clear I can make it, and then kind of traverse along that path and how it then fit into what I just described to you. So I first started I first came to yoga through the physical practices, through asana, and that came before physiotherapy. So in 1990 was when I first discovered, it was a yoga book, and I first discovered asana practice, and I enjoyed how it made me feel physically. And then fast forward over the years, I started actually participating in a yoga practice in a small studio. And so then not only was I learning asana, but then I was starting to learn other aspects of yoga. Some breathing, some meditation, some philosophy woven into the classes. And so it was that journey that was paralleling my then physiotherapy school. And then I graduated from physiotherapy, started working with people. So I hadn't really put two and two together necessarily that I could bring in yoga into physio, not intellectually, but again, as I just described to you, I could feel when I reflect back, I noticed that the feeling was there, and they were coming together, because of course, as you practice yoga, you can't not practice it. Like, it becomes part of your life and it becomes part of who you are. So as a physiotherapist, I was already integrating yoga, I would say, without really knowing it. And then as you asked, like, when did I become a little more clear? So that was early on in my physiotherapy career. I just on my own, I did start to realize, hey, I can start to integrate some of these practices. And it was still just the physical practices. So I wasn't thinking of the philosophy and the teachings and the deeper part of yoga that I was learning. I wasn't thinking of integrating that because there was no model out there and it just hadn't occurred to me. But the clarity started with the physical practices, especially being a physiotherapist, it fit nicely. So I started integrating the physical yoga postures into my physiotherapy practice. And then from there, I started to realize I could actually integrate the breathing practices and even some of the awareness and the mindful practices, just integrating, you know, start using some cueing differently when I would give someone an exercise or even a breathing activity. So I started to use what I was learning as far as how to keep awareness and how to choose mindfulness. So then the clarity, as I move forward, like over the years, integrating more and more, the clarity just, it just sort of came almost organically that I could start to integrate this, and then it made sense. And then I did discover that there were other physiotherapists who were integrating yoga in different ways, some integrating the practices, some going deeper and integrating more of the teachings and using yoga, not just using yoga tools, but using, or not just using yoga practices, but using the actual framework of yoga. So, you know, approaching their rehab from a different paradigm. So once I started meeting some of these other people that were also doing this, then it became even more clear that this might be a path. And we all didn't know what we were doing. And I'm not so sure we still know exactly what we're doing. But I do recall that increased the clarity to another level. And I could probably go on, but maybe that's good enough for this.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. So we're wanting to invite and extract and honor the organic process from an innovation lens. Remember, this is about a leadership journey and also this moving from me to we consciousness. So what I heard from this generative place that innovation comes from frequently is that as others began to also be similarly influenced by the combination of physio and yoga, that there was this, we call it co-initiation. There's a field that begins to take shape, take form. And so you spoke about others, and I'm imagining that there was some guidance in your heart's desire to help, right? You spoke about that. And that now in relationship with other people, maybe differently engaged, but also involved. So that is this next question of how did this core team of people begin to share vocabulary, share actions, share projects so that you could actually move into crystallizing something and offer something larger. And I don't know enough about your particular projects, but something that's unique to your story, where others were involved and a place where you practiced were involved.
Wow, I'm going to have to reflect on that, and I might need to get you to repeat and make sure I'm on the right path. So how the specifics of the core, sort of the core colleagues, the core people, you're looking for the specifics on how that guided
So think of it as an experiment. Think of it as an experiment that you guys were just talking one day and say, let's try something. It's that kind of quality of a spark of an awareness that something is possible and that you do it with others, not just have your awareness develop, but you actually say, let's try something together. We call it crystallizing, so that it actually takes a form that you can reflect on. And it could be a writing project. It could be that you decided to speak more clearly about it, that somehow it was shared.
Oh, that's, I don't know, that's funny how this one's tough for me. It feels so long ago, Allie. You're going, I'm clearing the cobwebs. Okay, let's see.
Let me frame it up so you can do
sure.
your
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me.
I know I've got it in me. You know, it's just I'm having trouble accessing it. Yeah.
Right. No, I'm just going to go right to your cells. Okay. So let's invite the billions of cells that are so active, all the, and that somewhere in you, Shelley, no matter when, no matter where, no matter how, it birthed something beyond your awareness. So this is this shift that we're looking at in more socially oriented domains of inquiry. The personal transformation is just one thing. When it moves into a social action, it's a very different move, so to speak, a very different act. And so the background is that people begin to enact creative new enterprises, right? That's what innovation is. So you may not have the identity that can lift up as a witness to you as the leader, but others do, right? We know this about you. And so this self-reflection, we just want to say hi there. You can be visible now. It's safe, you know. Whatever she, he needs to come forward. And if it wants to take a break and have a pause, we can go on to another question. So you tell me.
No, I want to stick here. It's okay. Just merely a matter of recollection.
Okay.
Like this memory, I'm trying to think, because right now I'm feeling like this question is, what are some more clear, like tangibles, like you said, projects. So I'm thinking of the core team. I'll tell you this. What I'm like, I think I get it. I get what you're asking. I'm just struggling and I'm going to get it though. I know there's some examples. It's here's the thing. For so long, I felt so alone, like for so long. And my story, cause I do podcast interviews and things like this. And they asked me my background and my, the rut that, or not the rut, that sounds negative, but the story that I'm used to telling is, like I would make these things up on my own. Like, and I did that for so long and it evolved on my own, which is, there is a moving from me to we. So I get what you're asking is that transition now. And I guess for so long I've reflected more and told the story more on how long I was on my own. Like I was on my own for a decade, you know, and just, that evolution of integrating yoga and the teachings and the practices and all that, it was so challenging and it took a lot of courage. And I do admit that so much of it, I felt like that I just had to do it on my own. This is good for me to verbalize it. And then once I realized that there were others doing it, I'm trying to recollect like the first kind of more formal conversations, like you were saying, like what projects or what do we do together that gave us a common language. And even though early on I had, like I started talking to others who were doing that, like I said, we were so lost together that I feel like, answering your question to when do we have a common language, I feel like together we didn't really. And then I feel like maybe once I started, well, two things come to mind, I guess. One was a formal yoga therapy program when I'm actually, you know, which came way later, but that formal yoga therapy program, okay, now I have other physiotherapists or rehab professionals that are in the same position as I am in Rawl and in different stages of how we're integrating. But I guess, okay. I guess in that setting, we just started talking more, nothing really formal, but then I guess now I fast forward to IAYT. And I will say that in 2006, 2007, when sitar first started, and I went right from the beginning, I would attend those conferences. And then it was that where I can remember meeting, you know, others and seeing what they were doing. And so to answer the question, the kinds of projects and conversations really started then. I mean, the CICs were one way. People like Matthew Taylor, of course, I remember the CICs, you know, starting, and I presented a few times and then listening to what others were saying. And I could get more specific if we need to, but that now my brain is starting to, I had to verbalize it, but that's, I remember when it really started catapulting. Does that help a little bit more?
It's beautiful because in my listening and in these interviews, what my practice is to listen to what's informing the moves that you made as an emerging leader.
Okay. I do have one more story. This was before, it doesn't really matter on the continuum where it was, but it was very early on. And it was actually, you just talked to Neil. So it was Neil Pearson. So again, I thought I didn't really have a lot of colleagues to talk to about this with, but I do remember Neil Pearson is also a Canadian physiotherapist. And I was in the same area geographically where he was at one point. So I reached out to him, searched him out. And we had coffee. So just a conversation that I had with him, a couple hours talking about this integration. And, you know, the reason why this comes up in my mind is because it was a time when I thought I didn't know what I was doing. I was making stuff up. I felt alone. And he was someone that I had known of for many years he was a yogi. I didn't really know what he was doing, but I knew he was a person who was interested in yoga, who was interested in pain care and chronic pain. I had seen him write some articles in our Canadian Physiotherapy Association professional publication. So I had heard of his name and I had heard him talk about yoga, which is why I reached out to him. But here's the thing. When I explained to him all that I was doing and integrating, yet how lost I was, and from him to say to me, you're doing it, I can't remember the exact words, but the feeling I remember, and the feeling that he gave me was, you are not lost. Like, you're with us carving a path. You're not lost. And he gave me a sense of confidence and okayness. And that I remember early on gave me that confidence.
Right.
Even maybe some common language there of just that, you know, it's, we're integrating yoga into rehabilitation.
No, that's perfect. Okay. That's perfect.
Okay.
Each of these moves in this developmental journey has to do with what supports the further move towards something recognizable by others, right? Mm-hmm. So that long trajectory of doing it alone, and then that important conversation with Neil, where he saw you in a way that you couldn't see what you were doing. And then the way you spoke about the, what I like to call the conditions for everyone to thrive, these conferences, these organizations, mm-hmm. the gathering. Right. And so somehow, if it's true for you, that this landing strip, right, toward actually identifying as someone who has a credible offer, who's got a trust sufficient in self that the voice of the heart mind together comes forward.
Right.
This is the next question, where it's no longer looking around and not knowing. It's that, wow, I'm taking a place at the table here. You know, I not that you claim yourself as the expert, but that this learning how to rest, Shelley, in your particular gift that people want more of. And that's about being seen by others, having something that has a form that's recognizable by others, the way Neil did in that conversation. So I'm assuming that there are steps along the path that you could describe from that perspective.
Right, absolutely. So that takes me to the formal yoga therapy training program. So I think that's the next step. And I had mentioned it just briefly a few minutes ago, but you know, it's that formal yoga therapy professional program, Professional Yoga Therapy Institute, where we had other rehab professionals. And from there, that's where a lot of the conversations and the validation of what we were doing was in quotes thing. So it gave it life, it gave it a label, even it gave it something tangible, and even to have credentials, even to call it something. So that I believe was an important step along the path to be able to have a label and even an identity.
Exactly. So that's exactly so I'm sensing you actually, your cellular structure is like saying, oh yeah, I kind of know what she's talking about now. So
right. So I really struggled. It was interesting. Yeah. Just recollecting.
So, but these are consciousness-based questions that as something comes into form through the wisdom traditions, right? The impact of your own study, your own practice, your own connecting, this is the listening to the universe part of this model. And so here it gets to be kind of an interesting moment. As you begin to see that trajectory, could you share, and think about the readers here, these will be new yogis who say, oh, I want to be like her or something. What did you rely upon, Shelley, by way of sutra, set of teachings, a practice, a go-to, that was kind of your own personal medicine, so to speak, or set of things that you did, so that you could create this, we call it action confidence, the courage as moving into the unknown. Mm-hmm. What did you rely upon? Did you meet a stuck place that you can talk about?
Well, I can answer that with one thing that comes to mind is Ishvara Pranidhana, for sure. Yep. And I would translate that in this situation as tremendous trust in the process over and over and over again. And that came from within. Of course, that within means connection to, you know, something greater. That's what I mean when I say from within. But it also showed up as connection with others, which there's the we, right? Where it's not, you know, just the connection of myself with something greater, but also my connection with others, which is also the connection with something greater. So I think that Ishvara Pranidhana just kept showing up again and again and again, and I kept cultivating it or allowing it as best as I could again and again and again in the form of, like I said, self-reflection, self-inquiry, and then connection to self and connection to a small handful of people in my life that I needed. So the support for me was so important, and the cheerleading and the love, you know, from a very small group of people.
Okay. Yeah,
I couldn't have done, you know, the tough parts and the courage that had to come from that. And then I would say I guess I'm going with the yamas and niyamas here. That's what's coming up for me. But, you know, I would say the tapas, you know, just the self-discipline. So there's a sense of, okay, well, there's a lot going on here in my mind now. So there's a sense of non-attachment as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that was big for me on this path. We have to let go of, I mean, we could say the traditional sort of paradigm in thinking, but even just, again, having the trust to let go of what isn't necessarily serving this path. And so all of it, the self-inquiry was key. And then the understanding of non-attachment to the way things have always been done, to the expectations, to even the sense of security in traditional settings. That's the probably one of the most common things that I hear from people who are starting out on this path. They find it really, really challenging to take that leap into something more uncertain, and it's not, you know, a very
right
certain sort of model. So just, yeah, allowing yourself to detach from what's always been. And then, like I said, the self-discipline and
great. Yeah, perfect. Really
persistence and patience, self-discipline, like all of it.
I know. So if that path has a particular shape, right, that more narrow focused shape with the reliance on the supports and the practices, I can't help, and then this question of uncertainty in these non-traditional environments that don't really know yet that it might be useful. So can we zoom out to current reality for a moment, this time that we're all living through together? And let's just, I'd like you to play a little bit with this opportunity from your experience and now your knowledge of others having had similar experiences, being innovators, being leaders, the energy, let's call it, that it really takes to keep it moving. And then knowing what we know about current time, these weeks of self-shelter, self-isolation, can we peek around the corner a little bit together, Shelley? It's like the bending of time, or really going into non-dual, that there really is a future out there that actually has everything that is necessary for this field. Can we like imagine together and just play? I'd like you to translate all that tapas into some incredible future reality, an image, a vision for us. And let's see if we can embody that through our conversational frame together for your interview. Who better to do that? And I have to say pelvic floor reality here relative to earth consciousness. So maybe some of your very specific wisdom around pelvic floor here might be interesting for the listeners and readers. Can you play with me on that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can have some fun talking about this. In the context of when we talk about, you know, the future and the roles of whether it's healthcare providers, yoga professionals, the people we serve. When you're looking at the future, are you thinking of in a rehabilitation type of setting? In that sort of service setting, or are you talking more just generally in the world?
I'm actually thinking more of the lifestyle management capacity, right, that yoga practices have, regardless of setting.
Right. Yes.
The big we of a population that connects to the earth and connects to embodied awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think to start off, that's, you just said the word awareness, embodied awareness. I think to start off, first and foremost, it to me, it all starts with the awareness first. And I think when you look at this from a yogic perspective, that's where we start in yoga as well. You know, we can't change from a place of unawareness. Like we have to start with the awareness piece. So I can really see a future where we all can be even just a little bit more aware, you know, just because we're all at different levels sort of consciousness on a continuum. But if we look at the future, if that all shifts even just a little bit forward, so even let's take, for example, maybe some of us are on maybe the lower end of awareness, some of us are in the middle, some of us are on that higher end. If we can just shift that, if we can just shift that whole boat just a little bit more forward, I think that's the first step. And that's one way I think, you know, when we take yoga and really we can talk about yoga, I guess, and what it means to both of us. But when we look at that larger sort of picture of skill in action, when we look at really trying to look at the process of self-inquiry, when we look at it from the perspective of trying to gain deeper insight to then reduce or alleviate future suffering, when we look at that, again, to me, that all starts with that awareness piece. And we can break that down even further, and the awareness, and well, what does that look like? And we have so many different ways and portals as to what that can look like. You know, whether it's more a cognitive awareness or an emotional awareness, whether we look at it from the physical body. So we can do something very simple like body awareness practice or breath awareness. So there's, I think, a really, in, you know, looking at the future, I think I can see if we all shift that awareness and how to, I think, is going to be really helpful and just make a huge, when we talk about systems change, I think we'll make a huge change in the entire system. And how we can do that is, it just looks so different depending on the context of the situation. So there's so much hope and so much possibility. Like, it doesn't have to look one way. It can be in any culture. It can be, like I said, all the different koshas, you know, so it could be cognitive, energetic, emotional. The awareness can, the portal can be varied and can depend on whatever the needs are of that community. That's a way to start the your turn now. Where would you take this?
Well, I'm curious about, as so what I heard you actually elicit an awareness of is the relational field, we call it, from the Presencing Institute. So culturally dependent capacity building, right? Each according to his her own level, and then linking it to the locality or the region. And similarly, if we look at it relative to individual bodies and age, right, the lifespan issues that people all encounter, we want to open the lens large so that there is a collective container that is very, very celebratory of the diversity. And as you land in that awareness here in this context, relative to the what is the real new, subtle nuance that as you see into the future, and so beautifully named and created such a beautiful vision of how it will likely be, Shelley, using the yogic lens, this is your leadership journey. And so if there's some other little spark now that wants to land, and I do this on purpose because that long journey at the front end for you has shifted. I'm seeing that 100%. And there's a alchemy of the impact of your both self-transformation, self-authoring, we call it in leadership, where something has taken a life of its own in you. And so this is the relationship of a creative, right? Of an innovator who not only feels that the offer has value and it's been useful to birth the offer, but going forward, these last minutes here, if your heart's desire to serve the future is what we want to engage by allowing there to be enough spaciousness in your heart and mind, I'd like you to imagine together here, again, for the sake of the readers, those who will be interested also in not knowing, right? Because that's really what we're trying to engage as a potential portal for something to be birthed. You have particular competencies, and you have focused on certain ways of working in the world. So let's just imagine that that's your spine, right? That's the thing that holds you up and in your connection to that which is above and that which grounds you. And that's what I want to hear from here at the end, as you witness this time of emergence. And it's mostly your wisdom self. Just let's see what shows up. You don't have to know anything. And if you don't like it, we don't have to put it in, okay? But I'm sensing that there's something more there. And I just want to invite her in. This is the dream big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
One more thing. What still needs nourishment? Maybe that will help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've got, there's no shortage of stuff going on in my head, Allie. it's me. Yeah. It's, just had to bring it out. So what's coming up for me right now, really strongly, is, and it is the transition from me to we, and it's not even the transition. It is about the we in the future. But it starts here. Like, it's so strongly, I just feel like the answers to so many, or not the answers, but my responses to so many questions somehow come back to all of us. Like, we have to do our own work for the we. Like, the we is our own work. And maybe that's just where I'm at right now, but I feel that the best way that I can serve, and then if I'm talking to the reader right now, the best way that you can serve, the best way that we can serve, is to stay so connected within and do our work, and that self-inquiry and the self-reflection, and then and it doesn't stop there, because part of going within and doing the work is serving. And so there's no separation. And that's what I'm really have been understanding lately, is that we talk so much about to serve myself is to serve others, and to serve others is to serve self. And I love that mantra. And it doesn't really quite capture the reality, because that even that mantra is making it sound like there's a self, and then there's the others, and to serve me, serve others, but that doesn't even exist. Like, we're really all one and in this together. So if we really do the work ourselves within, that in and of itself is is serving others. It's just really, really challenging for me to put into words. But for me, I feel so strongly about do the yoga, like do the work, which is so deeply within, which isn't self-isolating. In fact, it's the opposite. That's what is going to move us forward together and change the system and help us grow and evolve as a species or as humanity. What helps us evolve is starting with here. I mean, that is right now what is so strongly within me. And then the skills, you know, so we may say, well, what does that look like? And if you're looking to me, like you said, what's my wisdom and what can I share as one of the pioneers and innovators? And it's that idea of the courage and the humility and the curiosity, because this isn't going to work if there's arrogance and lack of curiosity and certainty and attachment. We have to be curious and courageous and humble. I feel like crying now.
That was a wonderful evocation for the future. And I am bowing here at the end of our time together, Shelley. Thank you so, so, so much for being available in the way that you have been. I am deeply grateful.
Thank you. You're such a wonderful, I'm trying to think of a different word than interviewer. You're such a wonderful guide, and I've just enjoyed this so much. Oh, I just thank you so much. What a beautiful opportunity to share. Well, we just went so deep. So thank you.
Thank you. May you have a blessed rest of your day, and I'll be in touch. The manuscript isn't due until September, so there'll be lots of time.
Yeah, I would actually, now I've changed my mind, and I would love to, if it's easy to transcribe at all, I would love to see the whole thing just to even have for my own file, and I would love to have it. And
I will send you a copy.
Okay, if it's not too much trouble, yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I can't wait to see you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.